Welcome to Health Data Talks, where industry experts offer bite-sized tips and trends for managing legacy data.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Shannon Larkin from Harmony Healthcare IT. And today I'm talking to Tim Liddell, who's a strategic advisor for Harmony. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Shannon.
Thanks for being here.
I really appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I thought today we could talk about quality. You know, at Harmony, we are doing a lot with data management, really critical clinical data, extracting it, migrating it, storing it for provider organizations. And I think quality is just kind of a reflection of that work we're doing. So to get started, could you just introduce yourself and talk to us a little bit about the work that you're doing with Harmony?
Sure. I work in the area of process improvement, which is directly tied to quality and the kinds of outcomes that we're trying to create. And I'm also in charge of administering the quality department and the quality follow-ups that we do with our clients. So I've been doing that for about 4 years with Harmony. And over that time, we put a pretty formal program together to collect an understanding of what our clients' experiences are and to make sure that we then reflect that experience to our management team and to our individual contributors at Harmony, and also to ensure that we transmute those experiences into changes on our procedural sides so that we improve our outcomes. It's really important to us not to just understand that a client feels either positively or negatively, but to make sure that we do something with that information.
Right.
So that's what I do.
Yeah. And I think that's quite a commitment. And I know that you've formalized that program a lot over the last, you know, over the last 4 years, like you said. What kind of commitment is it? You know, operationally, what kinds of things are you doing to check in with clients to get that feedback?
So I guess that's the question about how the program works. So we have three sets of interviews that we do with our clients on our projects. We don't talk to each and every project, but we do address each and every client. So some of our clients do a large group of projects with us over a long time. And we want to make sure that these interviews are meaningful and that they don't become places where we're just checking the box, so to speak. So we try to make sure that we cover right around a third of all of our projects and that we talk to each and every one of our clients at the end of a project. Some of our clients may do only one or two archives with us, but others do a really significant number over a period of time. We want to watch those trends. So we talk to them about their planning stage of their project. We talk to them about the point in the project where we do the meat of the work. And then we talk to them after they've implemented to make sure that we understand, did the deployed outcome give them value? So it's really important for us to do that. Another sort of unique part of our program is that we try to do these interviews at the stage in the project where the stakeholder memories are really fresh. We also try to make sure that the stakeholders understand that we're not trying to shoot for them to give us high ratings. We're really trying to explore what happened to them, what they feel their experiences were. And I'm very careful to tell them that we have absolutely no feelings they need to worry about when they're talking with us, that this is really an exploration of how they felt their experience went. So that's kind of the way we do it. We ask them to rate each of the questions that we ask them from a 1 to 10 basis, 1 being poor, 10 being excellent. And then we also ask them to make any comments that they feel are appropriate around the answers to those questions. Usually takes us 10 to 15 minutes, and the clients have been deeply appreciative of this work. We've had many clients tell us that they wish other vendors would take this sort of approach.
Right. And the main work that we're doing, I would say, what probably 90% of the time is archiving data for these clients. What kind of time frame does a project like that take, you know, from start to finish when you kick a project off all the way through to deploying an archive? What sort of timing are we talking about? Because you said there are three check-ins, and I'm just wondering, you know, the period of time that's covered.
Good question. the kinds of work that we do in the archives that we produce, it's quite variable. So we'll have a simple archive that might take us, you know, 2 months to do. We'll have other archives that deliver over a 10 to 12 month period. So what we do when we've selected one for follow-up is just to make sure that our project managers schedule the quality checks at the appropriate time. So in an 8 week project, we will talk to those folks, you know, at three week intervals, basically. In a year long project, again, it'll almost be sort of a quarterly check-in. But the main thing that I think lives behind your question, Shannon, is we need to make sure that we do these check-ins while they're fresh in our client's mind. If they've had a good experience or a bad experience, we don't want it to be tempered away so that we can't get an accurate understanding of how they feel about what happened to them. So even though the time periods may be long in a 12-month project, the check-ins come at a point where the work that we've done is fresh. Does that...
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm just thinking about, you mentioned, you know, a simpler project, which let's just say might be, you know, an ambulatory eClinical Works archive versus a longer project, which might be maybe, you know, an inpatient Cerner Millennium archive. Definitely, you can see where the difference would occur just in the complexity of the project. And I know right. that our sweet spot for the types of clients that we generally have are large integrated delivery networks. So it's not like they just have one archive or five or six. They may have a portfolio of 200, 300 applications that need to be decommissioned over time. So you're checking in with them throughout this program management of projects.
Right, right. And it's important to understand that as we check in with them on these projects, we're not an escalation point. So we're not trying to come in during particular kinds of things, like during the time that we're extracting the data, for instance, might be an example. We're trying to come in after the fact and gain an understanding of how the client perceived the events, so that we can understand where we might make improvements overall. So our approach is a structural one, as opposed to trying to locate an individual problem that's happening and correct for that. Our operations team does a really good job at handling that kind of challenge. Our job is to make sure that we can step back from the work that we do, examine it for ways to improve it.
Which is great. Yeah, that continuous loop of improvement is important just to gain operational efficiency on our side and greater satisfaction on the customer side. How are you measuring their satisfaction? Are you using Net Promoter Score? Do you have your own, you know, way of measuring satisfaction?
We do both. We have our own way of measuring, which is to ask a series of questions, standardized questions, about each of the stages of the project that we're working on. And we also use the Net Promoter Score. We ask the Net Promoter Score after the first project that we do with a client, and then we will ask it periodically, maybe on an annual basis, for clients that we do a great deal of work with. So we do try to incorporate the Net Promoter Score, and we do very well in that Net Promoter Score. But we also score and average each one of those areas. So the planning, the work, and the utilization areas, we will score and average those and trend those scores to look for patterns where we might be slipping, or also to look for areas where we're strong and could improve that and make that get more momentum.
How does the way you're tracking quality compare to other industry analysts? So for example, you know, KLAS is measuring the work in this data archiving space. How would you comment on that?
I would say that we are, as near as I can tell, the sustained, detailed, and prompt effort that we've undertaken is unique. We are told that often by the clients that we work with and the project managers who work with multiple vendors. So I don't think anybody is doing it at the level that we're doing it. And since they're not doing it at the level we're doing it, I would say that I would also think we're unique in trying to drive our on the ground improvements based on these quality scores. The other thing that I would say is that when we've talked to folks like the folks at KLAS, we're usually able, as they come and tell us about their interviews, we're usually able to understand just from the interview who they were speaking with, and we're usually able to add nuance both to the individual discussions that they've had and to the overall trends. So we don't tend to find surprises. We tend to think of those groups as people where we can kind of verify that we're on the right track and look at places where we can go deep.
Mm-hmm. Who are the stakeholders that you are speaking to most often when you conduct these interviews?
We speak most often to project managers, but we also speak to the subject matter experts who use the products, the clinical folks and the rev cycle people. We also speak to the technical folks who receive our products. And we go up in a number of cases all the way to the CIO level. That's not the most common place. So most of the time, we're with the stakeholders who are actually doing the work with us and receiving the results of our work very directly.
At Harmony, we're seeing this trend on the sales side where customers that are coming to us have already attempted to archive with a different vendor. So it's almost like we're archiving archives, as well as picking up projects that a competitive vendor couldn't complete. What would you pinpoint as some of the reasons that our competitors aren't able to finish a project? And what are the most difficult parts of an archiving project as it relates to the legacy systems?
The most difficult thing, and there's an aspect of this, a characteristic of what you're asking about, that I think is absolutely key, and that is the planning and expectation setting. So what we have found as we look at our scores and our comments and analyze them is that if we can front end load our projects with the strongest understanding possible from our clients or with our clients about the work that we're going to do and the result that they're going to receive, we have a much better chance of getting all the way to the end. Archives are really interesting because they're used in a couple of different ways. Often we'll be working with clinicians who are transferring to a new EHR, and they have to come back to the archive to understand background on their patients for 6 to 9 months, something like that. After that, things move over to the HIM department as they try to answer requests for records. So those two kinds of utilizations are a little different from each other. And if we don't set the right expectations at the beginning of the work that we're doing, we can find ourselves in conflict serving one or two or the other of those masters in an unbalanced way. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people trying to do archives. They try to rush into the work itself, and they don't slow down to do the right amount of planning and expectation setting. we've taken that to a different level and have built tools that provide standardized views before we get started, and also document the kinds of decisions that we've been made so that our clients can share those around their organizations and come back and ask us questions, and we can modulate the expectations. That's the biggest thing that I think governs the success of an archive implementation.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. There are so many users of the archive, like you mentioned, clinicians, HIM, RevCycle. And I think a lot of people might think an archive is, you know, you just store the information and it's done. But this is a piece of software with built-in workflows where transactions are being performed and, you know, search, sort, filter, single sign-on from the EHR to the archive. So there's a lot going on in that project and that implementation.
That's right. And that's why it's so important to have a detailed understanding that's aligned between us and the client.
That's right. Well, great. And quality is definitely, you know, an outcome of a good operations team. So I think there's just a good team of, you know, implementers, sales engineers, project managers on the Harmony side that allow us to have such high quality scores.
I think that's really true. And it actually goes even further than operations. It requires that we have a partnership between operations and sales so that we can do the right discovery at the sales level, choose the right combination of tools and software that we've got available, and then begin to work together with the client to deepen those expectations and make them more detailed.
That's right, from beginning to end. Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Tim, and talking about our quality program and how we're measuring it. We appreciate it.
You bet.
And to our audience, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to join us next time as we talk about legacy data and the management of it.
That's it for this session of Health Data Talks. Check out helpful resources at harmonyhit.com and follow us in your favorite podcast app to catch future episodes. We'll see you next time.